By Felicia King. To contact Felicia, visit her website, qualityplusconsulting.com. This is WGTD. You're listening to Education Matters, the only weekly broadcast in southeastern Wisconsin devoted exclusively to a discussion of local educational issues. Education Matters is co-hosted by John Nicholson, a retired Racine Unified administrator, Dwayne Olson, a retired member of the teacher education faculty at UW Parkside, Karen Sconser, an associate professor of education at Carthage College, Mike Kehoe, a retired substitute teacher and a current special education support volunteer at Bullen Middle School in Kenosha, and Chuck Wolbers, a transition and work experience teacher in the special education department at Tremper High School, also in Kenosha. Now, here's today's Education Matters moderator.
Good morning. I'm Dwayne Olson, your host today for Education Matters on WGTD-HD, Gateway Technical College, Kenosha, Wisconsin, and 91.1 on your FM dial, and 101.7 in Elkhorn, and 103.3 in Lake Geneva. Our program today focuses first on the responsibilities and activities of Ms. Terry Tessman, whose title is Supervisor of Personalized Learning and STEAM for the Racine Unified School District. Welcome, Terry, to Education Matters.
Thank you.
This is the first time Terry has been my guest, and so it's really great to have you with us. Our second guest is Jeff Neubauer, owner and president of Kranz Incorporated, a former Wisconsin state legislator, and a member of the Higher Expectations Leadership Table, which has introduced a program called STRIVE to improve learning outcomes in Racine Unified and Racine County. Jeff was my guest on June 21st, 2014 program, which is archived and available in WGTD's archives. So, Terry Tessman has a most unique background. So to get us started, Terry, tell our listeners a little about your background in the business world.
I was very fortunate that I was able to work as a biomedical engineer at Surgitech Medical Engineering Corporation in Racine. And I started out there after college, and I started out in the biomaterials department and doing quality control testing and materials testing. And then I found out there's something called engineers. And I was really intrigued by some of the project management and some of the design work and the innovative things they were doing. So I went and talked with the vice president of our research and development, and he said, if you want to be an engineer, go back to school. So I did.
Where did you go?
I went to MSOE in Wisconsin. But that was being an engineer was one of the neatest things that I have ever done, and I was very fortunate to do that. Surgitech was on the cutting edge in urology. As a lot of people are aware, they were also in plastic surgery. And I did a lot of traveling, a lot of design and development in urology as well as in cholecystectomy and biomaterials research.
Okay, and then all of that added to your getting identified with other people or other people knowing about you and...
Right, and so Bristol-Myers was actually the people that owned Surgitech. They were a subsidiary of Bristol-Myers. So I did some work with Zimmer, which worked on knee implants, and I went down to Warsaw. When Surgitech was under fire in the breast implant issues that were going on, Convatec was purchased part of that, but also Bristol-Myers, because I was a female engineer, there aren't a lot of us out there.
Yes.
So Bristol-Myers actually flew me to all of their subsidiaries, and I was offered jobs at all of those companies. I came very close to moving to Warsaw, Indiana, and working in orthopedics, which I've always had a special affinity for. But our grandparents for my kids were really important in their lives. I visited Flagstaff and, you know, interviewed with the Gore people and some of the biomedical places up in Minneapolis. What I ended up doing, though, is staying in Racine because I'm a native Racinian. And my parents were here, and John's mom was still alive, and well, John's my husband. And the grandparents were very, very important in my children's lives, so that's why we stayed here. And I was offered a job at Snap-on in their medical division as well as up at W.H. Brady. And so I actually took the job at W.H. Brady because it was a chance to do a startup medical company. And what they were doing is W.H. Brady makes pipe markers. And you're probably familiar and you've seen probably some of their goods if you've walked through different activities. But they were starting up a medical division based around their core technology. at that point in time, they always did everything based around their sales force, but they switched it over to, they wanted to look at what their strengths were from a manufacturing standpoint, which was a huge paradigm shift for how they were going to go about their businesses. So we took a converted a warehouse. There was one person in manufacturing, myself doing product development and quality and regulatory affairs, and somebody in marketing, and the person that kind of was the hub for all of us, kept us together, and then the vice president. And we started a medical division. And they had been a little bit in that industry from working with J&J. They did all their athletic tape. But then I ended up back in Racine, in Franksville, at Convatec, and flying all over the world, doing clinical studies. Convatec at that point was doing something that's called a Class 3 device, which was an implant, and it involves very heavy-duty clinical studies. And one of the places that was being done was in Europe. So I'd leave on Sunday, set all clothes for my kids, fly to Europe, do clinicals, teach doctors how to use a product, and, you know, be with patients and those kind of things. And then I would fly back on Thursday night and start all over again on Sunday.
There you go. Okay. Well, I just wanted our listeners to know what kind of a background that this supervisor of personalized learning and STEAM has in Racine Unified. It's an impressive background in science. Now let's sort of move on to your background in education. You told me when I visited with you yesterday that you had revised the science curriculum at Prairie School. I guess that was one of the first things that you did in terms of education,
right?
Or at least in public school education.
In a school education, yeah, because I actually started out teaching at Gateway. I taught nursing students and mortuary students, anat and phys and bioscience, way back when I first got out of college. But when I was traveling one day, and I got a phone call from Prairie where my kids were students, and they were looking for somebody to kind of coordinate and articulate their early school through K-8, so the early school, which is their 3K, through 8th grade science program. And a lot of that had to do with there's a lot of passionate educators in this world, and a lot of times people teach what they're comfortable with, and at that point in time, Prairie was aware that they wanted to be very mindful that their kids were getting not just the rainforest, not just dinosaurs, and not just space, but that they're giving things across all of the areas. So not just life sciences, but also the physical sciences and the chemical sciences, and computers and those kind of engineering and creative design.
So you were charged with getting beyond the basics that
right.
they were teaching.
And then also to articulate it so that if the kids were exposed to one thing in kindergarten, by the time they came to second grade, you reviewed that but also built on it. But it was all hands-on things, and it was things about kids, what they were curious about. I started a program called Questions Second Graders Ask, and they would ask things like, how's soda made? So we made soda. You know, how are lungs work? So I brought in some lungs, and they played with those a little bit.
Uh-huh. So. Okay, so that was your first dip into
K-12
education.
Right.
That's wonderful. So how did you happen to leave the business world and get into education now with this full-time position that you have with Racine Unified? And, Jeff, you're welcome to speak up anytime you want.
I actually got to meet Jeff's kids growing up because they grew up with my kids a little bit.
Wonderful.
Our middle kids ran cross country together. I kind of got in with the Prairie experience, and then I got more involved in the public schools when Greendale called and asked me to set up a digital productions lab because I was doing some of that work at Prairie as well. And when I was there, some of the kids Googled my name, said, "You got some patents, why aren't you teaching engineering?" I said, "I didn't know that they had that in high school." So I went down, started teaching a program called Project Lead the Way in Engineering. Project Lead the Way is a national organization that does STEAM-related activities, but predominantly engineering at that point in time. And at that point in time also, it was just in the high schools. What they realized was that there's a big need in the healthcare field to do things where they are, again, using hands-on project-based learning to expose kids to all the different potential career options that existed out there. So that was just a beginning program, and I had found out about it when I was at the University of Chicago doing some of the engineering work. And I had talked with a lady there and said, "How do we get involved in that?" She goes, "Well, we're starting to expand a little bit, but it's going to be very competitive." So when I got back to Greendale, I talked to the curriculum people in there, and they said, "Yeah, this is something we want to do." So we were one of the only two schools in Wisconsin to start the medical. And within 7 years, or within a year, we were one of the top seven schools in the country. And they flew four kids, myself and the principal, down, and we presented at a national convention. And that's how I ended up getting into public schools.
Okay, so, well, welcome to the public schools. We're thrilled to have you with us. Define STEAM for our listeners, just in case somebody doesn't know what that is.
STEAM is integration of science, technology, engineering, arts, and math. And they are all things that are really important in critical thinking skills, but also to kind of provide a whole well-rounded person. You know, it's all about people, and it's all about the kids. And STEAM makes sure that all of those are attended to, and that they're all being dealt with and, you know, exposed to the kids so that they can make choices based on their passions.
And you're right, and provide them a really strong background then in terms of those areas, and including the arts as well, right? Then.
Oh, yes. When I was at one of the school, I ended up doing a lot of starting up medical and engineering and now computer programs. But when I was up at Middleton, which is where I started one of the programs, we actually took our engineering capstone kids and worked with the senior art kids, and they made some things in they did some design work where they created a piece. We put it into a 3D modeling software. They exported that, and the arts and the engineering kids were able to collaborate, and the arts people allowed the engineering kids to see things a little different, and the engineering kids allowed the arts to do, and they end up pouring cast, and we literally took them into a steel casting place, and they poured sand molds, and you know, some of the art students are now looking at doing different things in engineering that merge their interest in art as well.
Boy, that's beautiful, because you need these artists then wherever you go in terms of life. One of the things you talked about, and you talked to me yesterday, was a program that you did up in the Madison area, Middleton area. Something was about can science or can...
Oh, construction.
Yeah.
One of the things that the kids at Middleton, they had something that's called service learning. And there's some, we are out at Burlington this morning. Burlington has that too. And what it is that the kids are using education and service all at the same time. And I had some kids in my engineering class who decided to do construction as one of their project design activities. And in that, in Madison, when it comes to spring, the food pantries are getting low on food. And the kids that are on free and reduced lunch, which is part of our world these days, weren't going to get food at schools. So to do a big community food gathering kind of thing, they'd have these construction competitions. So there was about 25 to 30 companies like Findorf and the Bruce Company and the fire departments that would get together and build these structures based out of cans and packaging. And it was a push to get most of the food groups that were involved. So, you know, part of the can construction, they had different categories, but one was to use some of these food groups, and those were like peanut butter and tuna fish and macaroni and cheese and those kind of things. So I had a group of kids that they decided they're going to build Al Burj, which is a hotel in Dubai, and so they put themselves into project teams, and there was a procurement group, and then there was a marketing group, and there was a design group, and you know, the marketing group made some flyers, the procurement group put them in bags, and they ran around, and you know, I got a map of Madison, and they divided them into zones. They put these bags on doors saying, you know, we're from Middleton, and we're doing this construction project, and if you consider donating, we'll come pick them up on Sunday. And on Monday, the cars started pulling up to the back door. We unloaded them, and the kids built a beautiful structure, and they decided they wanted to do that, and they're still doing this to this day. The next year, they built Big Ben out of cans and activities and structures, and they actually won one of the five awards. And then last year, they did a roller coaster. I was gone, but they send me a T-shirt pictures every year, right? So, and I'm not sure what they're doing this year, but it's a great community thing.
Yeah, and yesterday when I visited with Terry, she showed me pictures then of some of these canned constructions. And, I mean, these are really incredible things.
They're pretty elaborate.
Yeah, elaborate, exactly. And so then here's all the science that goes into them, as well as the arts in terms of the aesthetics of those designs.
Right, and then there's also soft skills, because they have this judging activity, and the community comes in, and the kids have to talk to the community about that. And then they also, you know, they decided we're all wearing khakis, and we're all wearing non-tennis shoes, and we're all wearing matching shirts, and they wanted to present themselves professionally. So, you know, it was good not only for the engineering and the arts and all those skills, but it was also for the quote-unquote soft skills that are so important in our community these days. So
and
it was a great opportunity.
And developing as a human being then to go out into the world of work, et cetera,
yes.
et cetera.
Yes, because all of the food then was donated to the food bank, so they realized how important the work that they had done, even as high school kids, were on impacting their community. And
wonderful.
That's something we are trying to also, you know, at Racine Unified now, is to do similar work like that. It might not be service learning in that format, but, you know, to be very mindful of our kids are part of a community. Mm-hmm. It's not just part of Racine Unified. It's part of Racine and Racine County,
right.
And that's really important.
And you have this nice background in terms of you've seen all these projects being developed by kids then under your leadership and that sort of thing. And so you bring that incredible background to Racine Unified.
Well, I'm just kind of the facilitator. The kids are usually doing the work. And there's some pretty impassioned people in place at Racine Unified. Dr. Hawes and Dr. Gallion and, you know, a lot of the people from Strive, the people from RAMAC, there's a big community effort now to do this. So I'm just facilitating a little portion of it. But when you get to be my age and older than dirt, as I like to say, I've had a lot of opportunities for a lot of experiences, and it's kind of nice to be able to put them back into the community.
Okay, you mentioned now that Jeff was out in Burlington and you've been out in Burlington. What's going on out there in terms of this curriculum?
I think they're using a different curriculum, but it has to do center around, you know, again, the community, what's best for kids.
Ah.
So Burlington is doing a number of really interesting things, and we wanted to take a look at that because in my work with Higher Expectations, which is the Strive Together initiative that you've referenced, we're trying to advance educational outcomes, maximize the potential of every child, and fundamentally solve two long-term problems. One is that our unemployment rate in the city of Racine is the highest in the state and has been for many, many years. And the other is that we have a whole bunch of employers who are having a hard time hiring people. So how can it be that we have all these unemployed people and yet we can't hire people? And the truth of the matter is that it's a big problem, it's a complex problem, and we need to think about it with sort of systemic solutions. And one of the things that Terry is doing a fabulous job, and she's not tooting her horn really to the degree it deserves to be paid attention to, is put together career pathways within the Racine Unified School District.
Right.
So that children are exposed to a lot more opportunities than they historically might have been, and they're given many more choices than they would have otherwise been, and they have a curriculum and real-world experience that allows them to see what these opportunities might be. And at Higher Expectations, the group that I'm leading, we are trying to bring together the business community, the K-12 education community, higher education, Gateway, Parkside, Carthage, and others, to move this agenda forward. And so what they're doing in Burlington, to get back to your question, is that they have a very nice career pathway program that they've put together there over time. And one of the things they're doing is something called ACE, which is architecture, is it construction and engineering?
Yes.
And it's really well developed. It runs very nicely. It's experiential learning where it's much more hands-on and relates the subject matters to these various fields and then exposes those students to a wide variety of potential occupations that they may wish to pursue after they graduate from high school or higher education or just really open up their opportunities. You know, historically, if you maybe a couple of generations ago, if you were a young man growing up in Chicago in a certain neighborhood and you were Irish and we just had, you know, St. Patrick's Day this week, and maybe your father was a policeman, then you would become an Irish cop, right?
Yes.
And there were generations of people in Racine whose families worked at the big manufacturing plants, and a lot of those kids grew up and went to work in those manufacturing facilities. And if your parents were professionals, maybe you pursued that course of action. Well, the world's changed, and yes. A lot of those jobs that used to be available are no longer available, and if they are still available, the pathway to those jobs is very different than it used to be. So what Terry and Dr. Gallion and Dr. Hawes and many others at Racine Unified and people across our community are trying to do is to open up these pathways to a wide variety of jobs to a much wider variety of students and children and their families. And it's very exciting work, and Burlington's done a lot of good work in that area, and we were trying to learn from that.
Wonderful.
And bring some of that to the East.
Oh, that's really great. So, well, let's move on then and talk, Terry. You told me yesterday too that you came to Unified 2 weeks before Christmas, this past year. How did that happen? And so, what's happened since?
The way that I came to Unified was I was actually contacted by Dr. Hawes, who had said that, you know, I've heard about you. Can you come in and talk to us about it? So I went in and met with Dr. Hawes, Dr. Gallion, and Tim Pels, who's the guru of IT there, and they said, tell us what you did, and I talked about some of the programs that I've started up, because I've started doing this pretty much across the state and into Chicago and into Illinois and Iowa and Minnesota, so in the Midwest, and then also on a national level because I teach for Project Lead the Way. But so I sat down and talked with them, and they just started asking me what I did, and I started telling them. I had been to a Maker Faire because I'm a Maker Faire geek, and I had started a Fab Lab Maker Faire at the last school I was at. I had gotten a grant through the DPI. And, you know, as we talked, they became more adamant or more animated, and they said to me, well, can you start tomorrow? And it's like, well, no, I can't. But I was very intrigued because they talked to me a lot about the work that they had done, which was a lot with these pathways already, and they had already implemented this Transformation Racine, which is this big initiative that we've been talking about, and they've actually started the ninth grade cohort, which is the first year of the four parts of the Transformation Racine, and I had started to identify the pathways, and they're just being solidified. And so I was able to, I thought about it, and I had some opportunities to come to Racine, and it ended up being 2 weeks before Christmas, and I've had fun ever since.
That's wonderful. We're certainly glad that you have had fun, and we certainly appreciate what you're doing. And so, listeners, stay tuned, because we're going to hear more in terms of what's going on. So let's talk about this this new program that's coming to Unified, and you talked about the freshman year the ninth grade level. Do you want to go on to say to the 10th grade and what's coming up?
And I'll talk a little bit about the cohort, which
sure.
is it's kind of grouping, not grouping physically the kids, but it's helping support the kids to make sure that they're getting an appropriate number of credits so that they're graduating on time. And that originally, that already is showing dividends in the initial data. In 10th grade, we want to start exposing the kids to more career exploration opportunities. A lot of times, people aren't even aware of what exists out there. One of the programs in one of the pathways that we're starting is a biomedical sciences class where the kids are exposed to 33 pathways doing hands-on learning. And it's not like it's, okay, now we're going to talk about what a neurosurgeon is, or now we're going to talk about what a genetic counselor
uh-huh.
does. It comes up in the course of an activity based around a facetious lady who ends up unfortunately dying, but she has sickle cell and heart disease and familial hypercholesterolemia, and we go through and actually look at these diseases, and the kids do hands-on activities where, you know, they find out, they design an experiment about what raises your heart rate, and they dissect hearts, and they learn how to read EKG, and, you know, how does electrical currents in the heart work. And, you know, when you have sickle cell, it just means that one base pair of your DNA has changed. And so the kids are learning about all the careers that support that. So we're trying to do more career exploration, especially at the 10th grade level. We've talked today, we were talking with Jim Ladwig and his group, and they've been phenomenal. Jim has really been a big driver for this. And, you know, about having a career fair in October and getting these kids into careers and having people come in. And we're looking for you know, some of the expertise in the area to help us with this. This is a community effort, and it's certainly not something Racine Unified can do on its own. So that's going to be the focus of the 10th grade year, is to really kind of start exploring careers. There is some software called Career Cruising where the kids will do some surveys on things that they're interested in that will kind of help steer them a little bit. And then when they get to 11th grade, we're looking at doing some more job shadowing, starting them on some dual credit pathways. Gateway and Parkside have been very instrumental. We've met with all the deans at Gateway. We've talked about these are the courses we have, where can we strengthen them, which aren't relevant anymore. You know, where can we give transcripted credit? The kids are already allowed to get transcripted credits in things like medical terminology and some of the construction in those industries, in foods and in child care. But where else can we do those kind of things?
Tell our listeners what you mean by transcripted credit.
Transcripted credit means that they actually can get a credit on a transcript. So it is literally what it says. So in the engineering programs that we're going to offer, the kids can get 3 college credits for one of the courses they're taking from Project Lead the Way from Milwaukee School of Engineering. So it's as if they are going to Milwaukee School of Engineering. They have a credit analysis, so they get a sheet, and they could apply it to any of the colleges across the country, and it's 3 credits from Milwaukee School of Engineering.
So that's one of the advantages, then, to this particular these programs, then, is that there's going to be these transcripted credits that kids will graduate from high school with, and they can take with them to college and university.
Exactly. And the idea is that they're not just a bunch of random credits,
yes,
but they're within a pathway that they might be interested in. And sometimes, Duane, they don't necessarily stay in those pathways. They might decide,
sure,
that they really like something else because of the things that they're exploring career-wise. I've had kids who say, I'm going to be an engineer, and then they start taking the biomedical science courses and end up as a pharmacist because they never realized that that existed. But I've had kids leave high school with 33 college credits.
My.
You know, so they're starting as sophomores. They might not all apply to that,
yes,
pathway that they're having, but it gets them along the way. Gateway's also given us some opportunities to actually do some very mindful alignment. They've got a grant that we are going to implement at Horlick and Park next year, where the kids are starting to do web design based on actual courses that are being identically taught at Gateway, and the kids will get those credits, and then they could just transition over to Gateway and continue on their program. So it allows them not only the career exploration, but allows them to start getting credits towards their future career.
Well, and that saves the money then in terms of the college university expenses and that sort
it
of thing.
It certainly does.
Which is music to the parents' ears.
Yes. And, you know, the other thing is that a lot of times, too, I've mentioned Project Lead the Way. They're affiliated with Milwaukee School of Engineering, and they've done some data analysis, and they actually say that the kids that are coming out of Project Lead the Way programs, they find stay in their majors 97% of the time. Versus kids that are entering,
really,
their engineering program that haven't had Project Lead the Way, they're only staying in between 47% and 48% because it isn't what they thought. Well, that saves not only money, it saves the angst, it saves time, so that's a good thing. They're also finding, because it's so hands-on learning and problem-based and experiential learning, as Jeff was describing, is the kids learn how to solve problems, and they also learn how to balance things, and they have a half grade point higher than their counterparts.
So they do better.
Yes, this Project Lead the Way is really quite something, and Terry's been very involved in that around the country and at the state level.
But so that's the background she's bringing to Racine Unified.
She is bringing that to Racine Unified, and Racine Unified had already begun some work with Project Lead the Way, but it wasn't really organized into these pathways or, frankly, utilized by the students to the degree that it could be. So this is going to be a big expansion of the career pathways led by Dr. Gallion, who is working on the whole high school transformation effort. And Project Lead the Way has done some amazing things around the country. The quick little story that might illustrate for your listeners what it's all about. When Toyota built their plant in Kentucky and they were hiring people to work in that plant, they had a huge percentage, way over half of the people they hired didn't work out. that plant. But there were some people who worked out really well. And so they looked at those folks who were working out well and wanted to find out what they all had in common and what the story was so they could look for more people like that. And they found out that many of those workers had come out of a high school that had Project Lead the Way. And so then they said, well, gee, we want everyone that we hire to go through a Project Lead the Way process. And they worked with local high schools and their local technical college, and they built this whole system for that. So what Project Lead the Way does, in short sum, and Terry can correct me when I misspeak here, is they will come into a school district like Racine Unified, and they have a curriculum that's been rewritten so that it's not just trigonometry because you like triangles, but the math relates to the actual work you'll be doing. There are opportunities potentially to get internships and work at companies, which is what Toyota offers in Kentucky, to see what that work is really like. There are opportunities, as Terry said, to earn college credits. And then when you graduate from high school, you've got a much stronger education around the things that you'll be doing, a much stronger technical background, and you can continue on. And in the case of Toyota, they pay a tuition reimbursement, get your associate's degree from the local technical college, and if you want to keep going, you go to the University of Kentucky and get an engineering degree. But in any case, you end up with a job at Toyota, and Toyota has had a great experience with that. So we've looked at that model. We're hoping to organize a trip to Kentucky to go see that, paid for by a foundation here in Wisconsin, and then bring that experience back here and work with local companies to build similar kinds of career pathways for children and families in our community.
So one of the things I'm hearing from what you're saying to me today is there's a lot of cooperation involved in this. Okay, we'll get back to that in a minute. At this point, I want to remind our listeners that this is your host, Dwayne Olson, and you're listening to Education Matters on WGTD HD at 91.1 on your radio dial from Gateway Technical College, Kenosha, Wisconsin. Today, I'm visiting with Ms. Terry Testman, Supervisor of Personalized Learning and STEAM for the Racine Unified School District, and Jeff Neubauer of the Higher Expectations Leadership Table here in Racine. We've been discussing the personalized learning and STEAM programs, science, technology, engineering, arts, and mathematics in Racine Unified. And with Jeff, we've discussed how Jeff and the business professional communities are involved in these programs. So now back to our program. So let's kind of continue a little bit on the cooperation that's involved. You mentioned Jim Ladwig and RAMAC and so forth. Could you continue a little bit on that, how important that is for having good curriculum for our students in Racine Unified?
That is a key because the businesses are going to drive where the kids are going to work because, there's a lot of statistics about how many kids will stay in Racine County. And talking with Dr. Albrecht, some of the numbers that are being thrown out around 70% or 80%. So we want to be mindful that we're not just educating the students. We are very much a part of the community. And Jim and his group and some of the other people in business, Jeff has provided a lot of insight, is what are the main pathways we need to really start exploring. The DPI, which is the Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction, has put together career clusters. And so there's all these different career clusters, and within there's a bunch of pathways. So we looked at that because there's a lot of things that have to be that are interrelated using these career clusters. And we talked with the people in manufacturing and being aware and, mindful of what's going on in the Racine community is we decided that there are certain pathways we are going to target rather than try to do all 33 of them. So the ones that we are doing, and a lot of that came from information from the people in manufacturing, are engineering, culinary arts, business and marketing, the construction industry, informational technology, which is the computers and web programming, but also the infrastructure and all of the little detail things that are being done at companies such as Modine's and Amazon's and, all the different activities that go along with it, as well as manufacturing. Automotive, because there's a strong foundation already started there at Park High School. Right. And then the other one is the healthcare and the health career options for our kids. So a lot of that is driven by the Racine community and the community's needs as the workforce is aging, but also as, you know, the community is looking to develop new businesses. But also there's 30% of the careers haven't even been invented yet. We need to make sure that our kids are aware of what's out there and be able to explore in areas of interest. So those are the original pathways that have been selected to really kind of focus on. And Jim has been really helpful at that, as well as Gateway and Parkside. And
wonderful.
And Jeff is coordinating a lot of that because Jeff's just got an excellent network in this area, as you know.
Wonderful. Yeah, Jeff, why don't you talk about that a little bit?
Well, it's really critical, as your prior question implied, Duane, that we have business community engagement.
Yes.
Because what we don't want to do is create these career pathways and have them be a bridge to nowhere.
Yes,
we don't
exactly.
want to turn out a lot of children trained to be X when there's no need for X in the marketplace.
Yes.
So what we're doing as part of Higher Expectations is working with RAMAC, working with the Racine County Economic Development Corporation, and other business leaders, the Workforce Development Board, which is led by Tom Burke, who's the CEO at Modine Manufacturing. And we are surveying businesses and looking at data that's been provided to us through Gateway and others to see what the jobs are that are going to be available. The baby boomers are in the process of retiring, as we know. And in the next 5 to 7 years, there are going to be a huge number of open opportunities for employment. In fact, you know, for the last several decades in our community, we've had more people who wanted to work than there were jobs. That is in the process of reversing, where now we're going to have more jobs than we have people to fill them, and the people that we have are not necessarily qualified to take those jobs.
Yes.
So we've got a big problem looking at us. And what we're going to do is go to the employers, and some of them are public sector, like the school district, for instance, and say, how many new teachers are you going to need? How many new nurses do we need in healthcare? How many new CNC operators do we need in manufacturing, and so on? And then look at how many are being turned out every year in the local institutions that do training and education. And then we're going to identify the gaps. And we suspect very strongly that there are a number of careers for whom we don't have enough people coming. And frankly, most children and their families have no idea that those jobs are even out there,
yes,
or what they pay or how you get one of those jobs. And so by bringing business intimately involved into this process, along with educators, along with higher education, along with others from our community, we've built a network which we call the Post-Secondary Education and Training Network, also working on a career development network that has all these folks around the table. And we started officially with that network this week. And Terry was a part of that. We had representatives there from a wide variety of community groups, and they will move this ball forward so that we can integrate these activities, define the number of jobs that are available, define what those jobs pay, define what you need to do to get one of those jobs, and then create clear and transparent pathways for children and their families who might be interested in having their children pursue one of those jobs.
Beautiful, beautiful. Okay, so there's a lot of thought going into this and a lot of coordination going into this to make sure that, what the outcomes then are really what is needed then for our community and our area of the state.
Exactly. And we went down to Nashville. There are about 40 people from the Racine area who were in Nashville, and a venture that was organized by Terry and Dr. Hawes and Dr. Gallion and others from Racine Unified to look at what they've been doing, because they've been doing this career academy, career pathway thing for quite a number of years, very successfully. And we learned a lot. And one of the things we heard over and over and over, whether it was from teachers or students or administrators, is that it was the businesses and the employers in the Nashville community being intimately engaged with education as a partner that helped make that so successful. Superintendents come and go, teachers retire, all school boards turn over, but it was the engagement from the community and particularly the business community that provided focus And they weren't just writing checks. It was more about their time and their talent that they were investing in this effort to work with education to really build the best outcomes for the Nashville area.
Okay. That's right. Dan Thielen, I was in a meeting with him the other day, and he told us a little bit about that. And I was very pleased to hear about this activity.
It's an incredible thing, and it works. And it works in Nashville. They're doing it in Burlington on a slightly different model, but it works. And what we want to do with Terry's leadership and guidance and the other folks from Racine Unified and the broader community is we're going to implement this here, and it will be, I think, extraordinarily beneficial.
Great. Go ahead, Terry.
I think the one thing that, you know, having done these at other places, it's the time and the talent that is the most important. I've also always found that the kids' passion is with the real-world experiences. And that is, like Jeff said, something we heard over and over. We got to talk with a lot of people, and that was a question I had asked them is, you know, what was the most important thing? And the first word out of their mouth was the business. And they really focused on the opportunities that they gave for the kids. They would come into the schools, and they would actually work alongside the kids in graphic design, or they'd have the kids come to their, you know, they'd give them a job that we'd like you to create this for us, and the kids would work on those kind of things. But it's about the time and the talent that those people can give to the kids that, you know, the teachers might have not had that experience, or they might not have had the equipment. But if the kids can see that, then and work alongside people, then that's a great thing. That's one of the things we did talk about was to also create a makerspace. And Jim has said that we could use part of Ray Mac. You know, Dr.
Great.
Albrecht has said we could use a building at Gateway to do that. And basically what that is, that's a community creative space. And they are all throughout the country. They started out in Boston. They have a couple fabulous ones in Wisconsin. But what it is a space where kids will work alongside people from businesses and communities. And, you know, we've talked with some of the businesses is if you would donate, let your employees possibly work 2 hours of volunteer time where they get paid to come work at this makerspace alongside the kids. And some of the things that occur in makerspaces can range from using 3D printers and doing CNC things and Arduino programming and computer ops to, you know, glass beading and glass blowing. And, you know, that's kind of an expensive undertaking. But some of them use embroidered sewing machine where you program the machines. But you're getting businesses and kids working alongside each other. And the businesses start seeing how neat these kids are and how
yes.
creative and how smart they are and how advanced they are. And some of these kids are doing programming in third and fourth grade. And the kids get to start developing a relationship with business people. And, you know, maybe it is that they don't take their cell phones out while they're working and
yes.
they wear safety goggles when they're working on the equipment. Or it's just a matter of, you know, can you help me do this and having that interaction. And, again, it comes back to time and talent. But it's really a symbiotic thing because the kids
yes.
get a lot out of what the adults are doing. But you know, the adults really enjoy being with the kids as well.
And it's more than knowledge and theory. It's getting to application and doing real things that exist in the real world.
And that's an excellent point, Wayne, because quite often, you know, like when you do an experiment, you know, in school, as you know, when it's done, you write a conclusion.
Yes.
Well, that's not the way it works in business or in engineering or in science. 90% of the time it doesn't work. What would you do next?
Yes.
And that's something that if the kids are creating, you know, one place I was at, a seventh grade girl had made a sword, and she was going to go out and walk down the street with it. And the guy said, well, how are you going to carry it? And she said, excuse me, I'll put it in my backpack. And he says, well, you could get arrested for that. He said, why don't you come back next week and I'll help you make a case for it. And so she said, yeah. And so it was a chance for them to work together. But also then the girl was able to kind of problem solve the fact that that might not be a safe thing to do. And,
yes.
You know, or if it doesn't work, how would you do it differently? So kids learn they need to have problem solving skills for anything that you do in life.
Exactly.
If you're changing a tire and the lug nuts break, you know, it's not like it's something you're schooled on. You can look in a manual. You got to figure out how to problem solve that. And that's almost in anything that you do. You know, you have to learn how to be able to communicate. And that's stuff where working with businesses and working in a makerspace, you get those opportunities to communicate.
Beautiful. And it's real things and leading to real skills that go that operate in the real world. And that's real life, I guess.
That's exactly right. And as Terry said earlier, whether or not they end up actually pursuing that career is not really the point. The point is they're learning along the way. And it's improved a number of really important things that we care about in our community and in education. They've got higher graduation rates. They've got lower discipline problems. The students are much more engaged in the learning. They're getting better grades. And so